We'd like to call post council into session June 27th at 10 minutes until 12. We'll go ahead and start with disciplinary cases with Marcus Yockey.
I know it's different to see me in a different capacity because I've been doing the curriculum for a bit, but the Attorney General's office hired me back to be the representative for the Utah Department of Public Safety and Post, so I appreciate that for them to allow me to come back. So let's jump right into it. Hopefully you don't need any further introduction as far as who I am. let's jump right into this. So the first matter is Adrian Archbeck. He was formerly employed with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office with 4 years of service. Substantiated allegations or offense is willful falsification of information to obtain certification, which falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline range is from 9 months to 42 months. The baseline is 24 months, and post is recommending 24 months. This comes to us by way of a default. And the facts are as follows. Adrian Archbeck received SFO and BCO certifications in 2018. In 2023, he submitted an application to attend law enforcement officer training. On the 2023 application, Archbeck listed several criminal involvements that he did not disclose on the 2018 application. Archbeck said that he knew the involvement should have been included on the 2018 application, and that is why he was listing them on the 2023 application. Archbeck said he left the involvements off his 2018 application because at the time he thought being involved in criminal conduct meant he was contacted by law enforcement. Archbeck's employment application also includes an additional criminal involvements that he did not disclose on either of the 2018 or 2023 post applications. Archbeck did not amend the information on the post application after receiving instruction during training as to what he must include on the application. So we do have a post course that we do provide that explains what they must include. So those are the facts as follows. Any questions?
Mr. Archbeck here. Mr. Archbeck, you care to present to council?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I guess I just wanted to come here to, you know, tell you a little bit about my background, you know, everything that, you know, that was just presented, you know, is true, you know. Before I started Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, you know, come from a pretty rough background, grew up in Rose Park, and my history is pretty, you know, messed around a lot, you know, and, you know, it came to a time where it's, you know, putting it on an application was challenging at times, but I did feel as though that, with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, it just didn't make sense. I thought there was only supposed to be police contact stuff. There was one other one, so those three, you know, selling marijuana, DUI, shoplifting. Those were all things that I never had police contact with, but the other one that I disclosed, being terminated, I put resigned, you know, from a previous employment. Gosh, I just felt so much shame that I for some reason I felt that I needed to be dishonest in that aspect. Before that, you know, as a civilian and going into a, you know, a cadet role, I just, you know, I've made such a big transformation from that time to where I'm at now, you know, and then applying with West Jordan Police Department, I looked at that, all that information and compared the two post applications and the questions and understanding, you know, what needs to be there. And I realized that, you know, I had indeed made a mistake. And the fact is that post didn't have to go and dig and find out any inconsistencies. I was upfront and honest about all of them. And I believe that's what separates, you know, my case from a lot of other ones. You know, I do understand that, you know, it all should have been there at the very beginning, but, you know, I think what happened here shows my integrity and my character and the transformation that who I am now, you know. I've been a trainer at the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office for the past 2 years, and knowing the process of the application and everything, and seeing, you know, the investigators come in and talk about, you know, post-investigations class, it really made me understand that, yeah, those three questions that I should have said at the very beginning on my first post-app, they should have been there. And, you know, I got a lot of feedback from so many different people on what I should do, because I was sitting there and I had my post-app that I was filling out to go to West Jordan, and I made a bunch of calls saying, you know, what should I do? You know, do I just copy the same post app? Do I leave it the same, knowing that I could have brought something to light? You know, do I, you know, what should I do? And I had many people say, you know what, you're stuck at the sheriff's office, man. You know, you should probably rescind your application, because you're going to lose your job. You're going to go through all this stuff and it's going to happen. I just didn't feel in my heart that was right, you know, to keep the same thing going on. You know, I wanted to make sure that I prayed about it and I thought about it, you know, is this what I really want? Because if I continue with this application and make the corrections, you know, I know that it could potentially come to where I'm at today. And in my heart, I knew that, you know, I'm willing to risk it all because I know this is what I want to do. I want to make that next step because I knew my time at the jail was done and I wanted to pursue my career on the road. And so, you know, risking it all, you know, doing the right thing, I just know that in my heart, that's like, no matter what happens today, I know that I did the right thing and I have people here supporting me knowing that, they believe in me and they know that I did the right thing. And still, no matter what happens today, I've paid the price. You know, I lost my job the week before I was about to start LEO here for West Jordan. You know, my certifications had been, taken or suspended current. So, I paid the price and I understand and I've learned from it. And I'm a completely different person from the moment I did my first app to where my second application for post is. And I just hope that, you know, all I'm asking is that somewhere, we can maybe lessen the suspension, because it's still a goal of mine. It's still a dream of mine. You know, a police officer came to me in my high school and knew that I was going through, you know, some serious stuff at home and decisions. And that police officer spoke life into me and it changed the direction of where my life went. It could have been very bad, but I'm here and I'm willing to take any disciplinary action, but, you know, I just wanted you guys to know that I did the right thing, and I believe my integrity showed, and I'm willing to pay the price for whatever comes next.
Go ahead.
You said you resigned, so did you resign or were you forced to resign, Adrian?
I was terminated. I was fired. Yeah, I wasn't forced.
Okay, and then, but.
Oh, Salt Lake County, sorry.
About no.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
The sheriff wrote you a letter.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes. Well, sorry, Dispatch Council, there is a letter, and I do appreciate that. She told me there is a letter from Sheriff
Rivera. Yeah.
So
it's
I resigned.
A positive letter.
Yeah, I resigned from the sheriff's office because I had received an offer of employment from West Jordan Police Department. Yeah.
Follow up question is, has West Jordan completed a background on you to include polygraph, psych, and are they done?
Yes, sir. Yeah, everything was done. Yeah, the psych, CBSA, and everything that I included on this new post app, it's all there at West Jordan. There's no discrepancies there, and
You initially filled out that was 2018, right? Correct.
That was my first post-app with the sheriff's
office. Is there a statute of limitations thing here?
Has anyone, everyone had a chance to read the letter from Chief or Sheriff Rivera included in the packet? Go ahead.
In Sheriff Rivera's letter, it says the process you found an oversight. Oh, you haven't seen
it? I briefly looked over it.
Okay, down the second to last paragraph, it said found an oversight in the original application. So was it an oversight, or did you think you wouldn't get hired if you disclosed the other things? I mean, if you went through the class, you knew what you had to put on your application. So just tell us what your thought process is.
So there were the three oversights that I genuinely didn't believe that I needed to put on there because of the way the question was asked in the application. Were you involved? And it just, I don't know. I guess looking back, In my mind back then, I didn't have to disclose it because of police contact, but the one of being terminated from a previous employment, I was dishonest there. Yeah, but it wasn't because I knew I might not get hired or certified. It was simply because I just had so much shame. But there's so many other things in my background that would cause someone to have more shame, but the reason I was fired from Sears is because, all right, it's still embarrassing and it's hard to talk about, but I was making out with someone in the back office, you know, while on the clock, and for some reason that just brought me so much shame. And
can you define, you were talking about your interactions with law enforcement, what is it that you didn't see as an interaction? If there was criminal charges against you in three different cases,
or even just contact, you know, didn't get pulled over, no police contact, you know, I drove drunk, you know, I sold drugs, I shoplifted, but I was never in trouble with the law. It was just something that only I knew about, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. But I understand the questions now, and that's why I made those corrections.
How far in your past was the distribution of marijuana?
2010. I was a sophomore, a junior in high school, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No more questions.
Unfortunately, that's the lifestyle that I knew, and, you know, and an officer talked to me and showed me a different path to take.
What was the baseline again,
Marcus? So the baseline is 24 months, so it's 2 years, and that's what we're recommending is 2 years. We don't have an aggravator or mitigator in the matter.
9 months to 3 months.
Oh, range, sorry. The range is 9 months to 42 months, so it's a really broad range if you look at your post-disciplinary guidelines. It's category C, so it's really broad, 9 months to 3.5 years.
Mr. Yockey, we can go over that. Yeah. Can't we?
That's up to your, I'll shift that over to your counsel.
I would make a motion, number one, based on the fact that this was a long time ago. Number two, he never had any contact with the police, so he was a teenager that didn't get caught, right? So we self-reporting, or none of this would even be brought up. It's important to me that he's passed a background, a psych, and a polygraph. And we put a lot of credence on those. And he's passing it, which tells me he's being honest. So I would propose that we do a 3 month suspension, and we'll would again recommend it. That's my motion.
Ms. Williams, you had something to add?
Oh, okay. I could barely hear the last part. Did you say 3 months? Suspension. Okay. I was just going to say that I appreciate that that you've made a change in your life, and that you saw, and after the officer had spoken with you, and that you saw that there was a need to change. I appreciate that. I believe in redemption, and I would like to recommend no suspension, and in light of what you said, and in light of not, you know, you didn't have police contact or anything, but you wanted to convey of what you've done, and And I appreciate that. And so that would be my hopefully maybe amended motion.
So the minimum would have to be a letter of caution. That's the minimum you can go.
So well, I would say maybe a letter of caution then. Yeah.
So I've got a motion for a
letter of caution. And I've got a second from Chief Swanson. Please.
So you can adjust from the recommendations and the baseline as long as you can support it with facts on the record. But you are able to go anywhere from letter of caution to revocation.
I think if it was a simple matter of I did it in high school and I didn't put it on my application, but the one thing that you put that you lied about, I think there needs to be some suspension there. And I agree with the 3 months is fine, but there has to be a suspension because of the lie, in my opinion.
Okay. So is that a substitute motion?
I'd make the substitution to make the original motion stand.
So
that's in order. I'll second my own motion.
I've got a substitute motion from Chief Sell for a 3-month suspension and a second from Chief Swanson. Is that correct? Any further discussion?
So if it's a 3-month suspension, that means if he resigned, you know, in 3-8, it's over.
Correct.
So he gets time with the Sac West Jordan.
Yeah, time served, basically.
I guess, right?
So what do we want to describe as the facts surrounding, for the record, the facts surrounding why we're
deviating? Between what Chief Swanson and Ms. Williams stated, I think that kind of justifies.
Okay. So,
are you clear of what the motion is?
Good time served, and I know what that means for prisoners. But.
So, it'd be a 3-month suspension, and they would count the time that you've already been suspended as part of that.
So, the suspension started the moment I turned in that post app, the second?
No. It'd be from the date of your resignation.
Okay.
So, yeah, those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I apologize for missing that letter. We do have two other letters on two other matters, so I'll make sure I point you in that direction. The next matter before the council is Abby Carlisle. She is a former employee with the Utah Department of Corrections with 3 years of service. Substantiated allegations are bringing items prohibited in a correctional facility, sexual conduct on duty, and a Garrity violation. This is categories A, B, and E. The guideline baseline for category A is revocation with a range of 36 months to revocation. We are going with a revocation as far as our recommendation. This comes to us by way of default, and the facts are as follows. Abby Carlisle was criminally and administratively investigated for multiple offenses, including providing prohibited items to an inmate. Her agency's administrative investigation found she committed several policy violations and a Garrity violation. Carlisle did not participate in our post investigation. Post found that Carlisle facilitated the possession of prohibited items by an offender in a correctional facility, engaged in sexual conduct while on duty, and was dishonest after being placed under a Garrity warning. As of this meeting, criminal charges have not been filed against Ms. Carlisle. So those are the facts as follows. Any questions or concerns?
Ms. Carlisle is not here, is that correct?
No.
Okay. For the record, Director Knorr will recuse himself. Do we have any questions for counsel? Hearing none, I'll call for a motion.
Do we accept the recommendation of POST for revocation?
Second.
A motion to approve revocation.
Second.
From Sheriff Sparks and a second from Ms. Stevens. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
The next matter before the council is Miley Castellana, currently unemployed with 1 year of service, substantiated allegation or offense is impersonation of a peace officer and interference with a peace officer. This falls under category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. DO, I messed up. Delta. Thank you. Good to be back, right? So category Delta, with the, and the recommendation should be, so 1.5 years to 18 months, and how did they miss that? So 1.5 years is the suspension we are seeking. And on this, we do have an aggravator up from the normal baseline on that, which is our range is 3.5 months to 2.5 years. Our baseline is 1 year, so we are going for that 18 months. So I apologize for my misinformation on my slide. But it comes to us by way of default. And again, the reason we are aggravating this is because of the multiple offenses. Miley Castellana was investigated by a local police agency for impersonation of a peace officer and interference with a peace officer. The investigation disclosed that that police were dispatched to a party due to some individuals causing a disturbance. As officers attempted to contact the owner of the home and find the individuals causing disturbance, Castellana identified herself as a police officer for a local police agency. Castellana also tried to stop the local police agency from speaking to the homeowner by standing in front of officers, blocking their path to speak to the homeowner, and telling the homeowner to go into the house and not to speak to the officers. Officers warned Castellana multiple times to not interfere with their investigation. She was arrested for interference with investigating officers. The investigating officers contacted the department that she claimed she worked for as a peace officer and were told that she had been terminated from the department months ago. Castellana pled guilty to impersonation of a peace officer and interference with a peace officer, both Class B misdemeanors. Castellana did not participate in our post-investigation. And I did, again, once again, apologize for my misinformation. So we are looking at 18 months on this.
For the record, Ms. Castellana is not here. Do you have any questions for counsel? Hearing none, I'll call for a motion.
I move that we accept the post recommendation for 1.5 years suspension.
We have a motion to accept post recommendation for 1.5 years from Ms. Stevens.
I'll second.
And second from John Crowley. Any further discussions? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Moving on to the next matter. The matter is for Justin Clyde, a currently employed with the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office, 4 years of service. Substantiated allegation is willful falsification of information to receive certification. This falls under category C with a guideline baseline of 24 months. The range is 9 months to 42 months and post recommends 18 months. So this is a downward deviation in the, from our 2 years, which is the baseline, and we are doing that for self-reporting. This comes to us by way of default, and the facts are as follows. Justin Clyde failed to disclose the use of alcohol and tobacco on an application to attend law enforcement training at Post. Clyde said he relied on advice from a supervisor at the jail when he filled out the application. Clyde said the supervisor told him he did not need to include minor juvenile offenses on the application if they did not appear on his criminal history. When Clyde sought further law enforcement training, he knew he needed to inform Post about the omissions. Clyde sent a letter to Post disclosing that he did not include drinking alcohol and smoking tobacco as a juvenile on his Post application. During his interview with Post, Clyde disclosed that he recalled smoking marijuana after graduating high school. Clyde also said he remembered attending a training class at Post describing what information needed to be included on the Post application, including juvenile offenses. Clyde said he followed the supervisor's advice even after the class and did not amend the information on the application. We do have a letter from Duchesne, or as some people call it, Duchesne County, from the sheriff, from Sheriff Tucker. So I would ask that, oh, actually, this is from Captain John Crowley. So
we'll
I'd ask
have to
you
recuse
to,
himself also for the record.
I would hope so. I would ask that you look over that. Is there? Do you have any questions for myself?
Yes, the mitigating. Did you mention the mitigating circumstances?
Yes, so mitigating is he. It was a self-admission. He's the one that brought forward the information. He didn't even apply to Post. He's the one that brought it forward and contacted us. So. And also, he relied on a supervisor.
5-4 years later, with this information,
Yes, because he was thinking about applying, and prior to making application, he came forward.
Is applying for LEA? Right.
Correct. So he was SFO and BCO certified, and he was coming forward trying to attempting to apply for law enforcement.
No one has any questions. I'll make a motion.
Well, do we want to
We do have Mr. Clyde here.
I didn't know that.
Clyde, did they speak to council?
No,
did they say he was here?
We just had somebody standing next to the council, so I assumed.
Well, he wasn't introduced.
I did just take the time to write up a little something. I'm not great at speaking, so I figured I'd write. It says, I've been employed with the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office for just over 5.5 years now. In that time, I've served as a control room operator, corrections officer, where I later became a corporal and supervised my own crew, and now as the animal control officer. In my time at the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office, I have never faced any disciplinary actions, write-ups, or even as much as a letter in my file outside of this post-investigation. I'd also like to note that this was a self-reported incident. I was not guided or directed by anybody in the department to report this matter to post. I received bad information from a supervisor who has since been decertified as an officer himself. I was young and new to the career of being a peace officer. After working in the field for some time and gaining the knowledge of my mistakes that I had made, I took it upon myself to call post director Stevenson directly in November of 2021. At the time, I aspired to attend the LEO portion of POST. After informing my supervisors at the Sheriff's Office, we had decided that I was not going to continue forward with attending the LEO program. I'd also like it to be known that I have been shown full support from my department, including Captain John Crowley and Sheriff Travis Tucker. It is my hopes that in this case, as a Utah POST counsel, you will consider issuing a letter of caution, and if it so be that you do seek a suspension of my certification, that you would consider starting the suspension from the time of my self-report, so I may put this behind me and continue my careers and goals as a peace officer in the state of Utah that has been on hold now for nearly 2 years. Questions?
Any questions from Mr.
Thank you for your consideration.
I don't want to steal all their time if somebody else wants to do the obvious.
You got a motion?
If someone wants to, I
think it's all yours.
Really?
Yeah.
Sure? Okay. I just don't want to steal all their time, but I would motion for a letter of caution. I think this fits based on what we just heard on the last case to deviate it down even further to a letter of caution.
So that was a motion.
Caution. I'll second.
And you got a second from Kelly Sparks.
And be in alignment with the previous case, with the exception that there was no overt dishonesty as in the one instance.
Any further discussion?
I'd also say part of it, it's taken 2 years to get to this point almost. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's had to wear this, waiting for this investigation for almost 2 years. And I know Post is super busy, but at the same time, he reported this 2 years ago. So
I just... For clarification on that, it was a self-report to Director Stevenson,
which that information didn't get passed on, and then obviously Stevenson left, and then I believe we got a call from Mr. Clyde himself saying, hey, what's going on? And so that's when our investigative staff was actually notified of.
I would use that as a good reason to support what we're doing as well.
We have a motion to second.
Also in the letter, Captain Crowley said they held him back a year because of his self-report. So that's a part of the 2 years.
Any further discussion?
Motion to second. I'm going to call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Moving on to the next matter, it's Thomas Duffield, formerly employed with the Salt Lake City Police Department, currently employed with the Lehigh City Police Department, 1 year of service. Substantiated allegation is falsification of a government record, and we have an or because it was in the alternative, an or dishonest in violation of an agency policy. That falls under categories Delta and Echo. Guideline baseline is 12 months. The range is from 3 months to 30 months, and then Post is recommending 6 months. And the reason we are downward deviating from the 12 months is this individual was a new officer, 1 to 2 months on duty, and also relied on their FTO as described in the facts. This comes to us by way of a waiver, and the facts are as follows. Thomas Duffield was administratively investigated for knowingly engaging in deceitful and or dishonest conduct that violated Salt Lake City Police Department's departmental policy. The investigation disclosed that following the response to the report of a stolen vehicle, Duffield submitted an initial report stating he and his training officer found paraphernalia in the vehicle. Duffield wrote in the narrative for the report that he had booked the evidence, the paraphernalia, into evidence. However, Duffield failed to collect or book the evidence. When questioned about the inconsistency between the report and the absence of the evidence disposition sheet, Duffield sent a message to the supervisor claiming he booked the drug paraphernalia into evidence. During the administrative investigation, Duffield admitted he sent the message and included the false information in the report. Duffield was a new officer and still under supervision of a field training officer. Duffield said the training officer instructed him to send the message and alter the report. The training officer admitted she instructed Duffield to send the false information and put the false information in the report. She said she expected Duffield to follow her instructions. Salt Lake City Police Department found that Duffield knowingly engaged in deceitful or dishonest conduct that violated their departmental policy. They also found that Duffield submitted a report with false information regarding the disposition of the property. Duffield waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notes. So in regards to the dates, if you pay attention to the dates, paid leave on 4/19 of 2022, separated from Salt Lake on 6/29 of 22, and then started employment at Lehigh on 10/9 of 22. Any questions from the council?
4 months of unemployment in between it,
right? Correct. And with 4 months of unemployment with paid leave for an additional 2 months.
Okay.
And I believe Mr. Duffield and his attorney are present. So if you would like to hear from, and we do, I do apologize once more. We do have a letter from Lehigh City Police Department that was sent by Chief Darren Paul. Okay. So if I can
like to take a moment,
draw
you
through
that, please. Council.
Thank you, everyone. Jeremy Jones on behalf of Thomas Duffield. I won't spend a lot of time with you. I think what I would like to mention is that he was new on FDO. Thomas is a former Army, former Marine. He was coming from a much more regimented chain of command and command structure. He'll talk to you about the decision that he made to submit that report, but we appreciate Post noting that the FTO did specifically tell him to submit this in the wrong way and expected him to comply with that. And so that's some of the context that I think is relevant on the facts for him. I'd also ask the council to recall the last post-council, I think, that I was in attendance at. I believe it was the last one. There were a number of dispatchers up here on falsification of government records charges, and downward deviations were done to letters of caution on those cases under maybe perhaps somewhat applicable circumstances. And so we'd ask the council to recall that and consider moving down to a letter of caution in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Mr. Benfield.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me the time to speak on my own behalf. I have a lot of regrets about how the situation at Salt Lake played out. I just want to make sure that it's clear that we understand the position that I was put in, and I want you to hear it from my perspective. So originally, when we were called to a report of someone stole AirPods, we had tracked them to a vehicle, found the vehicle was stolen, and I noticed what was tinfoil tucked into the seat back. Fast forward, I go to write the report about the recovery of the stolen vehicle. I note in the report that I observed tinfoil there that I believe to be drug paraphernalia. The first mistake I made was not picking it up to inspect it more clearly and confirm that it was indeed drug paraphernalia. And I just mentioned that I had found that in the vehicle in my report. I submit the report. The sergeant messages me and asks me what happened to the drug paraphernalia. At the time, I don't know because there's multiple officers on scene. So I tell her that I'll ask around and find out what happened to it. And then I ask my FTO about how to go about it, suggesting that we go and ask and find out if anyone else had taken the paraphernalia and booked it. And that's when she instructed me to just put on the, change the report to say that I had booked it for destruction and to message the sergeant and say that I had booked it for destruction. My decision point there was I had been told multiple times that if your training officer tells you to do something that you don't agree with, or if they're telling you to do something that you wouldn't necessarily do it like that, then to just do it their way, so that way you can get passed off, and when you hit the road, you can do it your own way. As well as being put in that position as a trainee, I've been trained multiple times before. I've learned to trust my trainers more than I trust my gut, and unfortunately, that's what I did in that situation, and it's cost me some time. It cost me a break in my career. It cost me the agency that I was with at the time, and now I believe that I'm back on the right track, and I'm doing good work with Lehigh, and I'm proud to say that I think that if you hadn't and asked anyone at my agency, they would also tell you that I'm doing a good job, and that this situation is not a reflection of my integrity, but more a reflection of the situation that I was put in. And I would ask that you reduce this down to a letter of caution and let me just get back to the street so I can keep doing a good job and keep cultivating my career as a police officer.
Any questions for Mr. Duffield?
Sure. Were there any charges filed based on the paraphernalia?
No.
Go ahead.
Or being that this is a Class D misdemeanor, was this screened by Salt Lake District Attorney or anyone else?
Clear? My client or the suspects? No charges against. I think it was, I think that they referred it and there was they screened, but no charges.
That was the question. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Referred or not? You think it was or it was?
For my client? It was referred and screened. No charges.
Charges.
Yes.
Were there suspects in this case with
the information I received from the Internal Affairs at his previous agency? They did present that to the district attorney's office or to the city prosecutor because it's a misdemeanor, and they did not feel that it was a case they could win.
Paraphernalia that was found, you said it was in a stolen vehicle. Were there any suspects? It was just marked for destruction because essentially you found some paraphernalia and didn't know who it belonged to, so essentially it would have just been destroyed and no one would have faced.
That's correct. We sat on the stolen vehicle for a while to see if any suspects would return to it, but no one did, and there was no suspects.
Go ahead.
If in order, I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
And my motion would be a letter of caution.
We have a motion for a letter of caution. Do I have a second?
I'd like to speak to it. So we actually have two violations here. We've got the Class B misdemeanor, and then we actually have paragraph G, which is dishonest behavior.
And how we actually, Colonel, how we actually go with that is we put it in the alternative,
because if you look at dishonest statement, it does encompass a lot of that. So if you look at our notice of agency action, we presented it as an alternative count. So
either way, either way you put it, it qualifies under both. These are actions that were taken after becoming a certified police officer. There's a pretty high expectation on this one. I think we should accept the count, the recommendation of post count of post for a 6-month suspension.
So you had a substitute motion?
Yes.
For a 6-month suspension.
Okay, so I have a substitute
motion for a 6-month suspension as recommended by post. Do I have a second?
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
I got a substitute motion.
Sparks.
Go ahead.
So I would
move that we issue a suspension for 3 months, which is the bottom of the range, based on the mitigating circumstances that are established. He was a new officer and he relied on his FTO, and that we accept the period of time that he was unemployed to have satisfied that suspension.
Okay, so we have a recommendation for a 3-month suspension and allowing the time from suspension to count toward his time out of unpaid leave. Is that correct?
Yeah, and the FTO was fired.
Yeah, I'll second.
So it's start on 6/29/22 would be the start date. Is that your recommendation?
Yes, 3 months starting back.
I'll second that.
And I have a second from Ms. Stevens. Any further comments or discussion?
That does compound things that we feel that I'm actually no, never mind. 3 months.
Okay, it's 3 months, 10 days.
So anything else? Anything in addition? That, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, Council.
The next matter before the council is Chelsea Gregson, former employee of the Utah Department of Corrections with 2 years of service. Offense is willful falsification of information to obtain certification, dishonesty in violation of an agency policy, and a Garrity violation. This falls under categories A, C, and G. The guideline for A is revocation. The range is 36 months to revocation, and POST recommends revocation. Our aggravating circumstances in this case that doesn't increase it, but it is multiple offenses. This comes to us by way of a waiver. And the facts are as follows. Chelsea Gregson was investigated by her agency for bringing illegal items into a prison facility. When initially questioned about bringing items into the facility, Gregson denied that she brought anything into the facility. Gregson was also questioned about meeting family members and associates of an inmate and purchasing items from them. Gregson initially stated she only met one family member of the inmate, but later stated when she went to the inmate's mother's home and also met with an associate of the inmate. During a Garrity interview with her agency, Gregson stated when she met with the brother of the inmate, she purchased a teddy bear and flowers for her daughter from the brother. Gregson never mentioned receiving a bracelet or purse from the brother. However, when investigators specifically asked her about the items, she admitted to purchasing 2 bracelets and 2 purses for $20 each. The department determined Gregson was being dishonest in violation of their departmental policy, and she was terminated. No criminal charges were filed. During a Garrity interview with Post, Gregson said she received 2 bracelets from the brother of an inmate. Gregson said she did not pay for the bracelets. When confronted by Post investigators about the discrepancy between her statement and in the agency's Garrity interview and Post, she said she intended to pay for the bracelets but did not. During the Garrity interview, Gregson also stated she had used illegal narcotics when she was younger. Post investigators informed Gregson that she did not document drug use on her post application. Gregson said she documented the drug use on her application to UDC and an application with the previous agency. Post investigators reviewed the applications and found Gregson only documented on her UDC application, which stated the drug use was a large part of her lifestyle.
Council, just before we proceed, Director Nora will recuse himself on this. Any questions for Council? I don't see Ms. Grayson here. Is that correct?
Yeah, not here.
Did they ever prove that she had brought in the Suboxone? Or did they were just asking
no.
her about it, just never?
Yeah, so we have it on our conduct, but they did not prove it on their end. Oh, then where are we? Oh, yes, we don't have that as far as account. Yes, it was never proven. I apologize. Misstatement. Good thing I have my sergeant here. So, yes, it was never proven that she brought in the Suboxone tabs, but that's when she was confronted about the issues.
The lying.
We have willful falsification. So she lied on, was willfully falsified information to obtain certification. was dishonest in violation of UDC's agency policy, and also was provided, lied during a Garrett interview to Post.
Violation was that she shouldn't have been meeting with inmate associates.
She was dishonest in regards to, meeting with them and who she met with and all that information.
Clarification on the category G in this case.
Sergeant Dave Barnett with Post. So her initial investigation was done by Department of Corrections, but not by their LEB division, their Law Enforcement Bureau division. When she told a story there, when she spoke to the LEB division under Garrity, it was a different story, so they went with the dishonesty. The Garrity violation came during my interview with her. So they sustained a dishonesty, not knowing which story she originally told was true to their Garrity interview for corrections and their non-Garrity interview corrections. So that's where the dishonesty comes from.
I'm asking G. Thank you. Physical and mental disability. Did she belong here?
No. Yeah, so it's a... I just copied this, so I'm glad. So it is my mistake. I will own it. It is supposed to be category echo, so E, A, C, and echo.
So I was like, what's going on here?
No, thank you. So it is E, A, C, and E.
Any questions?
That's why you don't have me do this, because then I mess up. The Garrity violation was the statements to us, the discrepancies as far as purchasing the bracelets and the purse, and also the statement that's the one is the discrepancy between her agency where she said I bought them for $20, and then the direct contrary statement to us saying, oh no, I didn't actually buy them, I didn't purchase them, so I intended to, but I didn't. So.
We have a motion.
Motion accept.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Second from Miley Lou. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
The next matter before the council is Gary Luke Hackford, former employee of Duchesne County Sheriff's Office, 17 years of service. Substantiated offense is aggravated assault, which is 3 counts, felony 3, threat or use of a dangerous weapon in a fight. This goes under category A. Better not have screwed it. It should be A and see. That's why I shouldn't be writing this. It's not F. Oh, it is F. So A on F engages in conduct, which is a violation that is Class C. Apologies. The guideline baseline for the revocation is for A is revocation. Post recommends revocation, and it's 36 months of revocation for the guideline range. Our aggravator in this is multiple offenses. And this comes to us by way of default. Facts are as follows. In October of 2021, Hackford sent messages to family members, which they interpreted to mean that Hackford was about to harm himself. The family members went to Hackford's home to prevent Hackford from hurting himself. At the house, the three members found Hackford intoxicated, holding a firearm. The three attempted to intervene. Hackford responded by pointing the weapon at them and struck two of the three in the face with the barrel of the firearm, causing facial injuries to both. Hackford was charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault, a third-degree felony, and other misdemeanor charges. In court, Hackford pled guilty to 1 count of aggravated assault, a Class A misdemeanor. The other charges were dismissed. After being advised of Miranda rights, Hackford admitted that he hit the family members with his gun in an interview with his department. Hackford refused to participate in our post-administrative investigation.
For the record, Captain Crowley will recuse himself. Is Mr. Hackford here today? Don't see him rising. For the record, he is not here. Any questions for counsel?
I move we accept the recommendation.
We have a motion to accept the recommendation of post counsel, and I've got a second from Chief Silk. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Next matter before the council is Cody Jackson. Formerly employed with Davis County Sheriff's Office, 4 years of service. Substantiated allegation is assault, domestic violence, which falls under category C. The baseline is 24 months. The range is 9 months to 42 months, and POSTA is recommending 30 months, and that is based on multiple events. This comes to us by way of waiver, and the facts are as follows. Cody Jackson was investigated by a local police agency for domestic violence, assault. The investigation disclosed that on April 20th, 2022, Jackson was involved in verbal arguments with his wife regarding a text message he received from a female coworker. During the verbal argument, Jackson's wife took his phone. Jackson took his phone back by striking his wife multiple times with his knee. Jackson was arrested for domestic violence assault. On April 22nd, 2022, the case was screened with the city attorney and charges were filed on Jackson. On June 23rd, 2022, Jackson entered to a plea, a guilty plea to be held in abeyance to the charge of assault as provided under Utah Code Annotated 765-102, a Class B misdemeanor. During a Garrity interview with his agency, Jackson admitted to assaulting his wife by striking her with his knee multiple times. Jackson also admitted he assaulted his wife on other occasions during their marriage. Jackson was allowed to resign in lieu of termination. Jackson did not participate in the Garrity interview with Post, and Jackson's wife did confirm with Post investigators that Jackson assaulted her multiple times during their marriage.
For the record, Sheriff Sparks will recuse himself. Don't see.
We do have counsel here for Mr. Jackson.
Would you like to present?
Yes, Jeremy Jones appearing on behalf of Cody Jackson. Nate Evershed handled this case. As Marcus noted, the criminal case was resolved with a plea, PIA, to an assault charge, no DV, but there's no real question about what happened relative to these charges. He's waived, and he would appreciate if the council enters the suggested penalty as offered by Post. Thank you.
Any questions? Hearing none, do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion that we accept Post recommendation for a 2.5 year suspension. Does that start July 1st, 2022? Let me just see what he was.
Starting no longer employed as a police officer.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So that he resigned on
7/1/22.
So I've got a recommendation and a second from
Nate Curtis and from Sheriff Wimmer to accept Post recommendation. With the time as termination 7/1/22.
Any questions? That'll go ahead and call the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next matter before the council is Kevin Norris, Saratoga, formerly employed with Saratoga Police Department, 15 years of service. Substantiated allegation is BCI violation 2 counts, which falls under category E. Our baseline is 6 months. The range is from letter of caution all the way up to 18 months. And then we are recommending 9 months, and the reason we're doing that is for the 2 counts. This comes to us by way of waiver, and the facts are as follows. Kevin Norris was investigated by his agency for a BCI violation. The investigation disclosed that in June of 2021, Norris was placed on administrative duty where he was not allowed to perform traffic stops or handle calls in progress. In November of 2021, Saratoga Springs Police Department conducted a routine BCI audit, and Norris was one of the officers that was audited. The audit showed that Norris had access to individuals for whom he did not have an active case or immediate contact. Saratoga Springs Police Department sustained a BCI violation, BCI policy violation against Norris. No criminal charges were filed. During a Garrity interviews with his agency and with Post, Norris said he thought he was using only the local records access through their records management system and not USCGIS to access the information on these people. One individual he accessed, Norris said he said one individual that he accessed, he believed the individual was involved in a pursuit that occurred with another agency. And regarding the other individual, he did not have a reason as to why he accessed that individual's information. Any questions or concerns?
Hearing none. Counsel, would you like to present?
Jeremy Jones appearing again on behalf of Kevin Norris. As far as the facts of this case go, I think Kevin will tell you what he wants you to know, but I hope the counsel will understand a little bit of the context here. Kevin had been dogged by false complaints by a citizen in his city for a long time before this happened. He was placed on administrative leave, as mentioned in the notice, as a result of these complaints. And so we have a 15-year street cop basically stuck on limited duty, administrative duty, going a little stir-crazy, frankly. And so he was trying to help out as best he could with the calls that came in. He would try to, as alleged with the counts, he looked two of those up. One of them, as he said, was one that he thought he recognized from a prior pursuit. The other one didn't have a specific recollection, but Kevin's been pretty clear that he was really just trying to help in whatever limited way he could while he was stuck on administrative leave. I would like to mention briefly, as far as comparables go, I will note that there are no criminal charges filed. That's been a factor that this council has considered in downward deviations in the past. There was no dissemination on these counts, which has been another fact the council has considered in downward deviations in the past. And even though there are multiple counts, there are cases from 2021 and 2019 before this council with multiple counts of BCI violations where the council has imposed a letter of caution. And so even though there are two counts here, my client would submit that at least on one there was a valid law enforcement purpose. Based on these council's prior actions, on a number of cases back from the January 13, 21 council, two cases with BCI violations, no charges, no dissemination, this council imposed a letter of caution. And this council has also imposed a letter of caution, that same council, when Post had recommended a suspension. And then the same pattern goes back through 2020 and 2019 of Post recommending somewhere within the baseline range and the council going downward based on the fact that there were no charges, there was no dissemination, which really aren't at issue here. So we'd ask the council to consider that and let this longtime officer get back on the street where he belongs. Thank you.
I'm just going to add some levity. I'm not angry. This is just my face. Okay? So we'll just get that question right out there. Accountability, consequences, punishment, a lot of things that those are some of the key terms that we use within law enforcement within this council room. I've had a lot of time to put into thought if I had to speak in front of the council, and I might be a man of large stature, but I'm very intimidated. Not going into detail, I won't shift blame. The facts are true, what was shared. I take the accountability for what occurred. I take my punishment. I'm a good street cop. I've been a good street cop. I want to continue to be a good street cop, or just a cop in general. That'd be really great to finish my retirement. I'd appreciate that. It's been a really long 2 years. This nightmare started for me 2 years ago. And while I won't get into the details of that, I do ask for your grace. And I ask for a chance to prove myself, to get back into a career that I love and a career that I believe I was made for. My temperament, my size, my personality, and even my upbringing. all pointed me towards this career. I'm open to questions. Some I can answer, some I might not. I might not know the answer, just like in life. So does anybody have any questions for me? Yes, sir.
So the nine-month suspension, two parts of that, was that paid?
No.
Paid suspension, and is that how long the investigation took?
So the investigation, I was investigated for a false accusation by the state, and I was on desk duty for several months, between 7 and 9 months.
You were getting paid.
So that was the investigation. I believe what the 9 months, to clarify, is what Post is suggesting is that
that's
9 months.
That's our recommendation.
Is their recommendation.
Okay.
So all of this actually started in June of 2021.
Okay, and then the other question is, you said that one of these queries was for law enforcement purposes, and on the other one you said you don't remember what it was for.
I don't recall exactly what it was for.
So it could have been for a law enforcement reason? Is that what you're saying? Because, I mean, I've been in the shop for 31 years, and I've run a lot of plates and a lot of names, but if you ask me why I ran something 5 months ago, I'm not going to remember why, probably. Right? So that's the question, is do you not remember why? And it could have been for a law enforcement purpose?
That's, in all honesty, yeah. I don't believe that I would just go out and run somebody's license for no reason. Anybody else?
Then I just have a question. You have not worked as a peace officer since March of 22, is that correct?
That is correct. I wanted to ensure that this was taken care of and behind me before I tried to get to another agency.
Were you familiar with the name of the individual that you ran?
No.
No? Okay, so didn't no recollection from when you looked at that name?
No.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions?
Just for a point of clarification, I think with this case, the main crux of it is he was on admin leave at the time, or not admin leave, but temp desk duty at the time. And I don't know if he's willing to answer this question or can answer the question, but what were the limits of your capacity at that time when you were placed on desk duty?
Well, I was essentially told no law enforcement type related behavior. Traffic stops. My marked truck was taken. I was given an unmarked. I was still able to carry a badge and a gun. And then when it came to what my actual duties were, the only thing I was specifically given within an email was to report to a lieutenant. I was still getting called out on major crashes to investigate fatal and near fatal crashes. I was given citizen complaints to field by the assistant chief. I rewrote the FTO manual. And so I did a number of things which were law enforcement related. I also did things that weren't law enforcement related, like pull weeds, change furnace filters in the building, wash cars. So.
You were still issued a department vehicle, and you're still allowed to carry a badge and a gun.
Absolutely.
And you still perform some police functions.
Absolutely.
Any further questions? That'll call for a motion.
Let me just point out that either way, whatever the way the motion goes, even if we go by what's recommended, it's passed already. So
yeah.
We're done, basically. Yeah.
I move that we institute a 6-month suspension at the baseline, given mitigating factors, but given the testimony here, and have that instituted from his date of resignation.
So we have a 6-month suspension from the date of resignation for time. Okay. We have a second from Chief Swanson. Any further questions?
Can I address that?
Go ahead.
We very much appreciate that. I mean, it does reflect that the council's recognized more of a downward deviation. We asked for the letter really just out of the principle of it, right? And to reflect some of the downward deviations to letter of caution that has been in the past. So don't think that we're not grateful, but I think a better signal on this one would be a letter of caution, given that there was no dissemination, he didn't know the people. We have at least a potential law enforcement purpose on the lookups. Thank you.
Any
your position's still the same?
I think so.
So I have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
Thank you.
The next matter before the council is Xavier Salazar Pena, formerly employed with the Utah Department of Corrections, 4 years of service. A substantiated allegation is criminal mischief and domestic violence in the presence of a child. We actually have two counts on the domestic violence in the presence of a child. This falls under Category C. The range is from 9 months to 42 months. The guideline, the baseline is 24 months, and we are recommending 30 months. And the reason for the upward deviation is for the multiple charges, the three charges that we have. This comes to us by way of waiver, and the facts are as follows. Xavier Salazar Pena was investigated by a local police agency for domestic violence assault and domestic violence in the presence of a child. Salazar Pena was involved in an argument with his wife. During the argument, Salazar Pena threw a sandwich in the direction of his wife and then threw an Xbox controller against the wall. Salazar Pena's wife forced, my facts split off. So his wife then went into their bedroom. Salazar Pena then forced his way into their bedroom, breaking the door frame. Once the door was open, Salazar Pena threw a jewelry box, causing it to break. There were two children in the apartment at the time of the argument. The local police agency arrived and arrested Salazar Pena on February 3rd, 2023. All charges against Salazar Pena were dismissed due to the prosecution not being able to discuss the events with the victim. During Garrity interviews with both Post and his agency, Salazar Pena said he used his shoulder to push the bedroom door open, which caused the door frame to break. So Salazar Pena said when he pushed the door open, there was a jewelry box in the way. He then grabbed the jewelry box and threw it, causing it to break. Salazar Pena denied assaulting his wife. Salazar Pena admitted to consuming alcoholic beverages the night of the incident. It was an Arby's as an Arby's slider.
For the record, Director Nora will recuse himself and doesn't appear that Mr. Pena is here. Any questions for counsel?
Was the assault ever proved? Because it says assault, it's charged with assault. Obviously.
Sustained by the agency, again, not the criminal charges were. We're not pushed forward because she did not participate with the criminal side. And we did not sustain the assault. The agency did. We just didn't have enough to go off of, so.
I want to point out, we can make a assumption that if she runs in the bedroom and barricades herself in with a jewelry box and calls his mother, she's fearful. Maybe not actual assault, right, but she's fearful. So I make a motion to accept the 2.5-year suspension.
So I have a recommendation to accept the post recommendation
for the 2.5-year suspension from Dr. Sweet. We have a second. Second from Sheriff Sparks. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
Thank you.
The last matter before the council is Joshua Vandertoolen, formerly employed with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office with 15 years of service. Substantiated allegations is driving under the influence of alcohol and carrying a dangerous weapon while under the influence. This falls under Category B and D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline range for B is 18 months to revocation. The baseline is 36 months, and we are recommending a 48-month suspension, so 4 years. And we are doing that based on the aggravating circumstances of a high breath alcohol level of 0.194 and having children in the vehicle making. And what? And the weapon. Yes, multiple charges. So we do have multiple offenses in this as well. The facts are as follows. Joshua Vandertool, and a peace post-certified corrections deputy, was arrested for DUI and carrying a dangerous weapon while under the influence of alcohol. His children were in the vehicle at the time of the arrest. And to note, both of them were under the age of 16. Joshua submitted to a breath test, which indicated his breath alcohol content was 0.194. He later pled guilty to DUI, a Class A misdemeanor, and it's Class A because of the kids in the vehicle in criminal court. The weapons violation was dismissed as part of the plea deal. Joshua participated in Garrity interviews with his agency in post and admitted to the conduct in question. His employment with Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office was terminated, and we do have leave from 6/10/22 to 10/24/22. Any questions?
Any questions for counsel?
So the admin leave, was that paid or unpaid, and would whatever suspension begin at 6/10/22 or the termination date of 10/24/22?
It is paid in regards to when you guys want to take, when you guys want to have it go into effect. That's up to you guys, but yeah, it was paid in regards to the leave. But in regards to how you guys want to affect the suspension, I would go to your counsel and advise you. Well, I'd hope he would advise you to stay consistent.
Yes, consistency is the key. The statute says the termination of a peace officer, whether voluntary or involuntarily, does not include suspension, nor employment with another agency does not preclude suspension. So I would suggest that he's still being able to be recalled to work, that would probably not qualify as suspension time.
So you look at the terminated date at 10/24/22. Is that correct?
That would be the time that he's on the payroll to be a car.
Move that we accept the post recommendation for 4-year suspension to begin on 10/24/22.
Okay. So I have a motion
to accept post recommendation and the termination date of 10/24/22. Correct. Got a second from Miley Lou. Any further questions? With that, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. And let me see what we have next on the agenda.
So we just need to schedule the next meeting. Any recommendations? Yeah. All
right. 19th sounds good.
Of what, September?
September. 19th at 10.
That's the 21st.
So the week before,
that's the
sheriff's. Oh, the sheriff's. 26.
It's a little difficult for Chris.
Yeah, it is
hard. Well, it won't be Chris at that time. It'll be somebody new that doesn't have the experience of being setting it up here.
So you're talking September,
either the 12th or the 26th.
26?
Actually, the 12th works.
Oh, I might be able to do that. I might not.
That?
12 or 26?
26. Let's see. That actually works. 26th. September 26th. Does that work for you?
I think 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.?
Show September 26th at 10 a.m. We will be in recess. Thank you.
We're adjourned.